Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Bachelorette Wrap Up. I'm Amy here, as always, with the lovely Haley Strong. Haley, how are you doing tonight?
I am well. I haven't been rejected by three men yet today, so I feel pretty good.
You're a little better than Rachel.
Yeah,
well, actually, both of them, I guess.
Both of them, yeah. Both of them have had a rough night.
Well, it's what we predicted, right? They couldn't get around this. The producers had to find a way to make them both feel shitty. So
yeah, and guess what? They managed it. If I'm looking for like the silver lining in the absolute like shit storm cloud that was, I felt like they were very supportive of each other and trying to provide what each person needed in that moment.
Right. Yeah, I think they probably were cursing out the producers under their breath or just off screen. It wasn't shown.
I feel like Gabby was cursing the producers. I feel like Rachel, and maybe I'm like infantilizing her more than I should be because she's like a full half a decade younger than me. But I feel like maybe she doesn't quite have her feet under her or like quite understand the power the producers have. And I think that was probably the case last season too, where like Gabby could kind of get her feet underneath her, where Rachel just kind of acted a little more impulsively. Not that I can blame her, but I felt like she kept it together very well during the rose ceremony.
Yeah, true. And just her shock when Gabby didn't hand out a group date rose, like, that can be done kind of thing. Like,
yeah.
It's not following what we're supposed to do. Yeah, I could see that. So we start off this episode with both women talking about wondering where the guys stand. And that seems to be the theme of the episode. We have to figure out where they stand. And this is, for some reason, you know, this is the turning
point. This is the day. Yeah.
This is where we have to decide.
Week two, that's how we're breaking it off. Do you think that's the right choice?
Is it the right choice? It's strange, like the way it played out, but it probably is the right choice. I just feel like it takes a little bit of the air out of the season and the fact that I don't think it's that unpredictable now. Like, I feel like it's so early to be like, okay, obviously, it's one of these four people that is going to win because we haven't seen any of these people.
Yeah.
Now they're down to this like tiny group of guys and half the guys are like, yeah, he has no shot.
Yeah. And I would love to know like what we're doing format wise. Like, are we seeing four guys for each of them in the, you know, in the hometowns? Like, are we doing eight hometowns? Are we bringing six full guys to fantasy suites or are they getting like... You know, are they getting a top three and they are top two and they get to like spend the like 3 weeks with them? Like, what is the scoop here?
Yeah. Is it going to be like we have 2 weeks of hometowns to your favorite thing? Like, it's just double extended.
Amy, honestly, you know what? I might be away for that. No, you know what? Actually, I think it's lining up that I'm going to be away for like the finale.
Oh, really? Wait, where are you going now?
Just on our much, much belated honeymoon.
Oh, okay. Awesome.
But yeah, it was lining up to that. I would be away for that. If only we could have planned it to be away for hometowns.
Right.
Remember
right.
The 1 year I did that? Oh, that was great.
Yeah. Very so nice. Well, also what I want to know is, do you think, again, they make it seem like this is what Gabby and Rachel think and this is what they decide. But was this pre-planned? This is the turning point.
I think they, no matter what, we're going to get to a point where they're like, okay, we're like dividing the two groups of guys, because I think they wanted that moment that we're seeing from Logan in the preview. That's like, I picked the wrong person. Like, I don't think we were ever going to like continue the whole season with them sharing the same group of guys.
Yeah. Well, and I think Logan played it right compared to a lot of these guys who decided to turn down a rose. It's like, just take the rose and then create a dramatic moment later on in the season. Like, just don't question it, because otherwise you're not moving on. Like, they're not going to go into a rose ceremony with letting one of the women just totally change her mind based on what happened. It's like they go in knowing. So I think
they
did it together, right? Like, they knew, you take him. Okay, yeah, I'm good. there's no way they didn't like clear their list with each other and the producers.
Yeah, exactly. I'm 100% in agreement with you for that.
Yeah. So,
yeah, you're just like making a bad move. Like, do you want to be strategic on TV, or are you here for the relationship? Like,
do you want to go on this cruise? You do want to travel?
Yeah. Like, do you want to go to Paris and stick around? Like, just take the rose. You're going to leave next week anyway. You don't have a connection with either of them.
Right. And if you're, I know we're jumping ahead, but it's like, if you see like one guy do it, two guys do it, like, don't be the third guy that does.
Yeah, don't be that asshole. Like, truly. Really, yeah, just take it. Like, what do you, yeah, like you said, the likelihood that Gabby is going to give you a rose after that is so low.
Yeah. Yes. So Jesse comes and tells the guys that there are two one-on-ones and a massive group date. And just kind of like last week, right? I mean, I guess it was a huge group date. The talent show didn't quite feel like a group date, but same structure. And Zach gets a date card from Rachel that says, "This is the beginning of our love story." I love that there was like a side comment by one of the guys. Well, she's one for kicking people out. So that was not to be with this date. However,
Could you pick Zach out of a lineup?
I think he was the one that I said is like, this is generic Bachelor contestant. Yeah. That looks like 10 of them face morphed.
I can't remember. Yeah. Did you watch Superstore?
No.
There's one guy on Superstore that he really looks like, and it was hilarious because he kind of sounded like him too. And the guy on Superstore is like a real moron.
Yeah, Zach has a really deep voice, so that's probably how I could pick him out, not by face, just by the base level.
I have a question for you, Amy.
Yes.
What childhood scenario would you have to match with a partner for you to know he's the one?
Oh, good question. So for context, if anyone didn't see, this was kind of a nostalgia childhood themed date. And they talked about how they both were brought by their dads to the airport to watch planes go by. Maybe travel or camping or something like that. I feel like that plays into if people still like doing that kind of thing. They did it as a kid. How about you?
I'm trying to think. I don't even know. Like,
there's nothing where I'd be like, oh my gosh, we're soulmates because you did this one weird thing.
Yeah, no, I don't know. It's hard to think because I feel like I guess I'm looking at it through a lens where I've like married a person. And so I'm like, what? Like,
did you ever talk about like random things you like doing as a kid and then found any
similarity? I don't know if you know what? I think the big one is that like, that's a lie. I do have one. It's that like the day we met, like we were both wearing the same watch.
Oh yeah.
So that's a lie. I do have one, and that's how I knew it was.
But it's not really child. It's not really childhood.
It's not childhood, no. But it is like weird, fadey.
It is retro though, because no one wears watches now. So
yeah, no. I feel like Ethan and I had like similar-ish childhoods, but like not a lot of overlap. You know what I mean?
Did you like go to a zoo kind of early on when you were dating?
Yes, we did. Kinda, like child, like right before we were dating.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. What did you think of this? Well, first, it was a Karamo from Queer Eye was hosting it. So at first it was kind of like, okay, just fashion show type thing or trying on clothes.
I thought it was a Pretty Woman date, honestly.
Yeah. I thought Zach was going to come back with like a whole new wardrobe. And Karamo says that he's hooked them up with an invite to an exclusive Hollywood premiere, which I thought was like a cool idea. Like, oh, yeah, wow, how did that line up schedule wise?
I was like, oh, I wonder if they got to like see Where the Crawdads Sing early or something that. You know,
already a tie-in with Ashley and Jared being on a commercial.
Oh yeah, well, and that's kind of what I was expecting. Like, Ethan and I actually had the conversation of like, okay, do you think they went to go see a movie that is coming out now and they just got like an early screener, or do you think they like went to see a movie that was in theaters then but not now? And guess what? Yeah. It was neither.
Nothing. Yeah.
It was dumb.
Yeah. At what point did you realize this Me and You is not a real film coming out?
When I saw the Me and You and then like the Step and Repeat, it was like, oh no, we are in for not fun time. But Ethan called it. He was like, oh, this is going to be like childhood photos and movies. I was like, no, because I just like didn't want to believe it.
Right.
I didn't want to watch it.
And there is precedent for that. Like, didn't. Although usually it's on a hometown date, I feel like with Colton and Kaylin, the family showed family videos. But then Ari and Crystal, he had an early date with her where he took her back to where he lived and they watched like, but I think it was maybe just videos of him. So it's a little early to be like the first date with someone, just like seeing pictures when they were a kid. But
I thought so, too. Like, it was like, it's almost like meeting your mom.
Mm-hmm. And they even saw like, okay, a little bit, a clip of the each other's moms, like wishing them well. So maybe that would be like a second one-on-one date, like this progression of things.
And like, my family was never big video people. Like, we don't have any home videos. We never had a camcorder or anything.
Yeah. Yeah. I would have a hard time like drawing something. I'd be scared of what could turn up because, yeah, we had it for like one summer or something. I got bored of it. But Zach and Rachel thought this was like really romantic and seemed to connect on it.
Yeah, they seem like a good fit.
Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, back at the house, Gabby goes to stop by and see the guys, which I was excited about this move. I was like, this is smart. Like, she's getting advantage here.
I really loved it on her part. And it was just so weird. And I don't know why.
Exactly. Like, why were they so awkward? Why was no one pulling her aside?
Yeah, like even like Nate, man, like Nate, pull her aside and be like, I had such a great time with you, blah, blah, blah. Like, it was so, so weird. And I felt like she really like put herself out there to be like, hey, like, let's hang out. Let's get to know you. Like, hey, if anyone wants to get to know me, like, this is a great opportunity. And like, no one took that opportunity.
Right. Like, I get that she's like, so what do you guys typically do? And they're like, oh, you know, throw the ball around. She's like, oh, really? And then they just proceeded to do that.
She's like, I don't want to do this. I never wanted to do this. I love Gabby so much.
Didn't want to do it to begin with.
Yeah. Like, do you think it's like the Michelle vibe where she's like, I don't feel seen. Like, all these guys are like hanging out with each other. Or why?
It really, it reminded me of that date with Michelle where the guys were like so caught up in like the fun things they were doing on the date that no one was checking in on her. But this felt even not worse because it's like, okay, you're on a date. Yeah, you should be doing it. But it's like, at least they had some novelty of being out of the hotel in Minneapolis and going somewhere and like eating cotton candy. Like, they had something that was like they were having fun with. But this is like, you're always sitting back at the house. Now you have one of the two women that you're pursuing and at least half of you are like focused more on her. So.
And like, even if you're not focused on her, wouldn't you want to just like.
Yeah, leave a good impression because.
Or even just say like, hey, I want to be honest. Like, I'm into Rachel. Like, can you tell me more about Rachel? Or like, you know, can we like, why you
opportunity there instead of taking time out on the group date to break up with Gabby?
Yeah.
Or even just, I don't know, like just find, they're so caught up on like a cocktail party. Like, I have to get time. That the fact that none of them
they, like of wasted this, time.
Right. She was barely there. And there wasn't even like an ITM of any of them saying like, oh, shoot, I wish I had talked to her more. Or that was so.
Or like, I'm so excited she showed up.
Right. So that was strange because it seemed like it would have given her a big advantage. Instead, it started playing into her head. So we also, let's see, going back to the date with Zach, they had that moment talking about, oh my gosh, we both watched Planes as a kid, and he gets the rose, they make out. Anything else notable?
No.
Okay. So Eric, back at the house, gets the next one-on-one date card from Gabby, and the card says, who said three's a crowd? So we find out that Grandpa John is going to be joining on the date. I thought Eric could have been a little more excited about Grandpa John.
I feel like Eric could have been a little more excited throughout this whole date.
Right? Yeah, he kind of gave me that like too cool for school attitude, like, oh, like I got stuck with this date. Like, he was kind of that night one vibes where it's like, oh, I thought I was going to get the one of the roses from somebody and I didn't. I'm a little annoyed. So I'm a little annoyed that we had to go to get a sound bath and bowl instead of a helicopter or something.
Like, yeah.
He strikes me as someone that has seen the show and didn't get the opportunity he wanted.
Well, even probably Nate comes back last week and he's like, we went on a helicopter. And he's like, oh, I'm going bowling with some olds. Like,
yeah, there was even a comment at some point like, yeah, I had to get away from whatever that is, like gesturing to her grandpa.
Yeah, like the most important person in her life. Yeah.
So at least Gabby didn't seem like, she didn't comment on it, so she didn't seem like put off by it at all. Like, she kind of laughed with him with
yeah
it, so.
I wonder if he just has like a very dry sense of humor and it doesn't play super well on TV, but it plays well with Gabby.
Right, because I could see a bunch of other guys like really like engaging with her grandpa and like asking him stuff and like kind of playing into the double date vibes a little more and like asking questions like, okay, what was Gabby like when she was younger or whatever. But yeah, it seemed like he just wanted his alone time, which I guess I get it. But yeah, do you think this was the best opportunity to use Grandpa John in this type of
date? No, it was so weird. Like, I think like the bowling was cute, but I think like it should have been like the bowling first and then they like go do another activity after. But the sound bath and the bowling just seemed like two very separate activities. There was like no through line.
Right. That I think they maybe thought they'd get even more like gold out of him for that. Like, just, oh, what is this weird thing? But no, yeah, he just took a nap.
Like, they were like, oh, he's an old, he's gonna think everything's weird. But he was just like, oh, whatever you want to do, my darling granddaughter, I'm going to take a little nap here.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, the two activities really didn't seem like something that you would do on a typical day. You wouldn't pair those two activities together.
No.
Eventually they do leave the bowling alley and leave Grandpa John and his double date that they found.
Yeah, but like, he's still married, is he not? Or like,
she passed away.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so but yeah, it was odd because Gabby's like, and he's been married for over 50 years, so she kind of said it like more present tense.
Yeah, and he was like wearing his wedding ring, which like is something that definitely happens when somebody's spouse passes away, but like, because of that like present tense comment from her and because he was wearing the wedding ring, I was like, oh yeah, like, still happening.
So this quickly became an emotional moment for Gabby when, and it seemed like to kind of catch her off guard, but they were talking about family and Eric was going on about, you know, his parents' great partnership. He really admires his mom. And then Gabby just kind of walks away and is talking to producers and seemed to get really insecure about the fact that she didn't have that typical upbringing. She doesn't have a relationship with her mom currently and kind of almost like, she's not good enough for Eric or something. That was her insecurity that like, it just might be too much to take on, that she's just afraid that he might not want her because, I don't know, I felt really bad for her in this moment.
Yeah, this made me really sad. And I think this week it was just like layering her insecurities right on top of each other. So like, she was already kind of feeling like being compared to Rachel, like she's very different from Rachel. I'm sure Gabby's gotten a lot of like, not just in this particular situation, but like, she was a cheerleader. I'm sure there was other girlies on the cheerleader group that like, you know, people gravitated towards more than Gabby. And she went to the house and none of the guys really paid attention. And then she was like, she was kind of already having those feelings. And, you know, it's something she talked about on Clayton's season, of that she doesn't have a relationship with her mom. And I really appreciate the way she can like openly talk about it. And like, it makes me really sad that she thinks she's broken because of that, when she is like stunningly beautiful inside and out. And like, it's sad that so many of these absolute zeros are making her feel like anything but like amazing.
Right. And I don't think Eric, like, it was more just that they couldn't relate to each other. He didn't say anything like that should have made her feel that way. It's just, I think, it caught her off guard, but yeah, I don't know. He like, could have done just, a little more maybe to support her afterwards.
I feel like he could have done a little more. Like, I think he should have like gotten up and looked for her. Or if he, you know, because he could probably like hear her voice or like knew where she was, just go and say, hey, like, let's, you know, just give her a hug. Like, I feel like that's all she needed in that moment, because she kind of got on his lap right after. She needed like that physical touch. Yeah, I feel like he could have been a little more supportive in that moment as well.
Right. And who knows if he was told, like, no, you got to stay back kind of thing. But just sit there and look awkward. They love on these dinner portions. They love having that moment where the lead walks away for whatever reason. Like in last week's case, it was because Rachel didn't want to choose Jordan and had to like have her moment about that. But make them sweat a little bit one way or another. Then we get to, they just kind of make out. She feels like he did, like, she feels like supported by him, I guess. I just thought it wasn't really like, I wanted more.
I agree with you. And maybe like they didn't show all of it.
Right. But she even has a comment like, I would give anything to be loved by someone like Eric, which I don't know.
Really,
does he deserve that? I know you think he's really hot.
So. I think he's so hot and I'm embarrassed.
Yeah, he definitely is very, very attractive. I could see it a lot more this episode too. But yeah, I'm like, he's not giving much. Maybe that's why he's like, looks so appealing. He's withholding.
Yeah, I'm not proud of it. Mm-hmm. But here we are.
I'm getting kind of vibes like he wants to be the Bachelor.
He just really reminds me of Nick Viall. And like, yes. So like that's, you know, like
calculating in a way. But he does get the rose. And now we're on to the 19-on-2 date, the biggest in Bachelorette history. And it is with Franco, the photographer that we've seen multiple seasons. I think even going back to Nick's season was maybe his first one.
I hate these dates, man. It's like, why are you dressing some guys up in nice hot suits and then some guys up like a baby? Or like, why do the women have to see a ball sack today? Like, why?
Right,
nobody wants to see a ball sack. So like, why are you making them? Hey, for this stranger who's rude.
I got Jacob eliminated. So.
Can I tell you an embarrassing thing?
Sure.
I thought that Jacob hair down and ponytail guy were two different people until this episode.
Oh my gosh. That's so funny.
It didn't even occur to me that's the same guy. Because like when his hair is down, he seems
hair down guy.
Yeah. Because when his hair is down, he seems so doofy. But when his hair is up, he seems like such a dick. And so I thought they were two different people.
Right. He does have kind of two sides. So maybe that is like it brings out something different. I definitely went back to hating him this episode at all points.
Yeah, for sure.
I thought he redeemed himself a little bit last week with the mortgage, like the funny way to like do the talent date. But no, I was surprised that he didn't last that long, but because we saw of him, but
there's no time for filler on the in this season.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like we don't know any of these guys. So the filler scenes sometimes maybe help us a little bit get to know them. But yeah, this was the weirdest probably of all the photo shoots. Usually there's some kind of common thread, like they're doing a charity calendar or it's all wedding themed and it's just different decades or different styles. But this was all over the place. A car wash, a pregnancy scene where the guy was pregnant, a family photo where I think Ethan had to wear one of those like had spinny hats and just looked like a little kid, and Meatball had to wear a diaper. It's just too much. The Adam and Eve.
It was so weird. I'm out on it. I don't want to see it anymore. And like, there's stuff you can do with that many guys.
Right. Why not just do the whole thing where it's engagement photos and they have to do a proposal and they get judged on that.
I hate those though, to be honest.
At least they're on level playing field, though, if they all had to do it.
So. Yeah. I just have a problem with earnesty.
Yeah, it was really odd. And I think they do it because they want the guys to be like, oh, man, I had to wear this. But none of them really seem to care. So it backfired on them. With the women on a Bachelor season, sometimes it plays out that way where somebody gets so upset and they like throw us a fit. But
and I just like don't think it's funny to embarrass people or like try to embarrass people.
Right, right. And yeah, it's like, how are they selecting who gets what? It's yeah, a little suspect.
They're like, oh, well, Meatball doesn't have a chance. Let's put him in the diaper.
Right, exactly.
Or like Nate and the other guy do have a chance. So let's put them in the hottie boy suits.
Yep, yep. Just playing into it.
Yeah, like you should, based on your outfit, you should know your placement in the right. season. Exactly. Like if you have an embarrassing costume, you might as well leave. Unless you know that you're going to Paris next week, then yeah, stick around. But know that you're not the one.
Exactly. And then the second portion of the date is where it's sort of like reverse what happened the last group date. And it's just getting a little tired where the last group date, they invited people back to the house and it seemed like everyone was there for Gabby and Rachel was being told, no, I'm not here for you. It didn't happen to this volume, but you know, again, there was only six people on that date. This time, three guys in a row are sent in. And I say that because this is not coincidence, especially it seemed, sent in to have their time with Gabby just to sort of say, hey, you know, you're really cool and all. This is the first one. You're really
the
cool.
The first one, he played it well. I think it was like the first one and she probably was like, you're 24. Like, I don't want to date you anyway.
I'm not into you either, basically, but she didn't have to say.
Yeah. But like, you know, he said it, he didn't say anything about Gabby. He just said, hey, I'm interested in pursuing Rachel. Great. Leave it at that.
That was Tyler.
Don't maybe tell a woman that she's a little rough around the edges or that, you know, if it was just her, you would leave. Like you know, there's a difference between being honest and just being like hurtful. And these guys were hurtful for no reason.
Yeah. Do you think the producers told them like, hey, you really need to tell her?
I think they're just dumb. Like, I think sometimes like guys do not have like an ability to, you know, I don't want to generalize it by gender because I'm sure women do the same thing, but they just like don't have any idea of like how that can play or like, you know, what that sounds like to them.
Yeah. Yeah. So Hayden is the second one she sees. And
Hayden's like, a little grody bitch. Yeah. I don't like him. He's sketchy. I don't trust him.
Yeah, because he kept saying all these things about like, as if like she would be like, oh yeah, yeah, I'm totally like that. Like, oh yeah, you know, like you're bubbly and goofy, rough around the edges, and like my morals more, you know, like
yeah, that was
for someone with my morals.
And it's like, her morals, what? Because she's what? Like
what? Yeah.
What do you mean by that?
Exactly. Like, yeah. What does he mean by rough around the edges? Like, why would you say that? And so he says that. And then Jacob's the next one in and he's like, you know, I'm like more like interested in pursuing Rachel and just not feeling it. You know, even if it was just you here, I wouldn't have the heart to continue. Like, how is that supposed to make her feel any type of way except
it's a completely unnecessary comment.
Yeah. Like, I don't know if he was trying to make it seem like, oh, I have integrity. Like, I'm not just here to be on the show. Like, it just very strange. So, yeah, Gabby rightfully is like done with this date. Whereas meanwhile, Rachel's like, I'm sure Gabby's having like as great a time as me. I haven't seen her in a while, but she's having a great time like with guys that are interested in her and having time with them. They're at a football stadium. So she's sitting like in the middle of the field with Avon having like a mini date that goes well.
I like their chemistry a lot.
Definitely. And she sees some of the same guys that after Gabby saw them, like Tyler, I think Hayden. I'm trying to think who else she had a moment with, but it just seemed like it all was going well for her. And she hands Avon the group date rose. Obviously, she hasn't had time to catch up with Gabby, but Gabby's just like, you know, like I had some conversations that didn't sit right, or I don't know if I want to give out a rose. Like, I just don't feel like I should give out a rose. But where were the guys? Where was Nate during this date? Where was Nate? There were 19 guys on this date. Like,
yeah.
A lot of, yeah. We not see in the rose ceremony.
And I wonder if it was a producer thing where it was like, send in these guys. Oh, yeah. We have to take you to an ITM. And then she didn't have any more time to talk to the guys who are going to actually be nice to her.
Right. And then after those three, it's like, I don't even want to talk to anyone else.
Yeah.
So after that, Rachel is totally shocked that she didn't give out a group date. So she talks to her after that, like, what happened? What's going on? And so Gabby fills her in. And I loved that Gabby told her specifically, like, Hayden said this, like, Hayden said, like, you know, he doesn't want to date me because of my morals. And Jacob said he wouldn't, like, even if I was the only one here, he wouldn't date me. Like, she doesn't change what they said. She's not like putting it back on Rachel. She's just like, yeah, I found this hurtful. And it's kind of what we thought, like, might be good about this season, is that this gives Rachel insight into their character. And I'm sure it impacted. I mean, she does give Hayden a rose, but I don't know that she would have eliminated Jacob otherwise. She didn't have that info.
Yeah, I really love it. And as many problems as, like, this setup brings, I really love being able to have these moments where they play off of each other, just because they, like, they love each other so much, but they are very different and they approach things so differently. It's just, it makes for really, it's just interesting to see them talk. Like, that's all I care about. I don't care about these jabronis. Like, I care about Rachel and Gabby.
Right. Did you catch that? Rachel asked Gabby, like, well, did you talk to Jason? So it's interesting, like, Jason, we haven't seen at all, but that there are, like, sort of people that it's like, well, isn't he, like, one of your, you know, top guys or whatever? Mm-hmm. And she's just like, nah, like, I don't want to talk to anyone after that. So, so then we cut to what should be the cocktail party, but, you know, every season we get multiple canceled cocktail party.
Great. And don't care about it.
Right. The guys are upset because they thought they'd have more time to figure out who they're interested in.
Well, that's your bad. Giving, like, them, make time.
Yeah. Yeah. And I like that Rachel pointed out, it's like, okay, they're getting all the power back to them. Like, so that's not what we want. But Jesse says, like, I know I'm not who you wanted to see, but this is not working for the women, and it can't continue, or they won't find love. And to me, I'm like, okay, isn't that the point of the show? Like, you're just admitting that, like, you set it up so that it's going to fail. So now it's time for things to change. And tonight, if you accept a rose from one of the women, that means you are committing to pursuing only that woman. A little bit shades of VIP, like, when it's like, you must now commit that you are thinking about engagement, otherwise you have to leave. So I don't know, this was a little odd way to structure it, but this is the way it's going to be.
It was clunky.
Mm-hmm. They come out and it's like, oh, you will see now there are two podiums with roses, but he didn't tell us how many roses were on each.
George messaged me, plus I saw it on Bachelor data.
Yeah.
That coming Rachel has, she is just doing the Lord's work over here. Mm-hmm. Rachel had 9 roses and Gabby had 8.
Sketchy.
And so, like, the math was that just one guy was going to leave.
Yeah, and it doesn't make sense that Gabby would have fewer because she only had one guy. So they sent the guys who already had roses. This was also really odd. It reminded me kind of like when they had to vote for 2 different bachelorettes with Caitlin and Britt, like they kind of split off into their votes. It was like, okay, Avon and Zach are over on one side. They're in, like, the winner's circle is what Avon called it. The winner's circle for Rachel. And then Eric's in the winner's circle for Gabby. And they're, like, waving at each other. And then they will see. It's also kind of like music or Listen to Your Heart. Like, they did that to see, like, who went through the rose ceremony. Like, who's going to come through? And they could kind of peer through. I don't know why they didn't just have them, like, standing off to the side like you normally do if you already have a rose. But anyway, so if Gabby only had Eric there, she should have had more roses.
Another rose, yeah.
Yeah. So
the math ain't mathin'.
No. So, yeah, as I was watching this, I will admit, I didn't catch any of the math. I was like, oh my gosh, Rachel ended up with 6 and Gabby has 9, you know, because I just, like, saw that she had 3 in a row. And I was like, okay, I think Gabby ended up with 9. So that means Rachel has 6 left. I didn't, like, put it together that there are already 2 waiting for her. But they also, as Bachelor Data broke it down, they had Rachel go first, and then she also went last. So, yeah, they just kind of staggered it in an interesting way. But somehow, within that, there were three roses that got denied. And they obviously must have known that they would get denied.
Yeah, I think so.
Because, and that they wouldn't end up on Gabby's team. It was just very strange.
And rude.
Right, right. So, yeah, that didn't sit well. But
yeah, because, like, do you think Rachel actually would have picked those guys? Like, no. Right? Like,
oh, that's probably why she was really, like, mad. Like, okay, you basically forced me to, like, add these people on my team because to fill out my team. And then they all rejected me. Like, yeah. Because it was Termaine, which I think this is the only time we've seen him speak, was to say, actually, I have a deeper connection with Gabby. Like, where? What? When?
Yeah.
And then Alec declined. I mean, I like his face. I was surprised.
God, he's so good looking. Yeah, like, holy shoot.
Didn't get enough of him.
Even when he was, like, letting her down easy, got, like, his smile. And was like, I know. Oh, my God.
Exactly. Like, don't do it. Just take it. Just stay around. Go to Paris. And then Meatball. Like, come on. What are you thinking, Meatball?
Yeah. Like, again, Meatball's like 25. You think Gabby, a 31-year-old woman, is going for you, a guy who goes by Meatball.
Right. Right.
On national television.
Exactly. So, yeah. I don't get why. They thought that they would have a chance, even just structurally, why they thought they would have a chance.
Nobody did the math here except, like, Gabby, it feels like.
Right. Because if she wanted to, like, say, like, oh, wait, now can, like, I pick Alex? She would have had to be like, Jesse, wait a minute. They'd have to go backstage and say, like, OK, I think I want to give. They'd have to clear it with the producers. You know, maybe I guess that was on the table if she had wanted to do that and say, OK, I want to switch out, let's say, Quincy or Kirk for one of those guys. Actually, now that I'm thinking about it, why didn't you do that? Like, switch out Kirk. Like, we don't need him. Like, we've never seen him. Mm-hmm. And you have a connection, so keep Alec around. But apparently she had a strong connection with Termaine as well that we didn't see.
Yeah.
So Rachel calls Tino first, then we alternate. Gabby calls Nate. Rachel calls Logan. I was a little surprised because I think he was kind of in between, which we talk about, might see that play out a little later.
Yeah, we're going to see it play out later. I genuinely think no matter who would have picked him, he would have switched.
Yeah. Yeah. He has those vibes that was just like, wait, I wasn't ready. He has
the vibes that, like, it's, you know, the devil you don't know or whatever it is. You know, that's not the saying. Grass is greener on the other side. That's the one I was looking for.
Right. Gabby picks Johnny, which is another one I thought maybe was more into Rachel, but again, we don't know him, so.
Yeah. I think Johnny was more into Rachel, but he just was smart about it and was like, you know, if Rachel's picking me, that means, or if Gabby's picking me, that means Rachel wasn't going to, and I want to go to Paris.
Exactly. It's a guarantee. Then this is when Rachel picks Termaine, and then what we didn't mention is, for some reason, that means that the rose has to be taken away if it's like Jesse comes out and it's like clarifying with Termaine. Okay, Termaine. So that means that, you know, you can go back and stand. And if Gabby decides, chooses to give you a rose, then you may stay. If she does not, then you are out. And Rachel, your rose, like, is no more. You're taking this rose away. So making it seem like she has this lack of guys on her side. Then Gabby calls Spencer. This is when Rachel calls Alex. So back to back, she gets declined. Sorry, I have to decline. I'm here for Gabby. Then we see Gabby call Jason. And Rachel calls Tyler. Gabby calls Mario, who was her first impression rose. Rachel calls Ethan. So Ethan's still on the board. Then Gabby picks Kirk. Rachel picks Jordan. He's the headphone guy. That's about all I know of him. And I think they finally kissed this episode. Gabby picks Quincy. This is when Rachel picks Meatball, who declines.
Oh, my God.
Again, then this is like way at the end, too. It's like Meatball. There's like two roses left. What are you thinking? Gabby picks Michael. Like, who is Michael?
I don't. I've never seen that man before. I was like, oh,
this is
I
when wonder... she should have picked someone that we actually recognize.
Yeah, I was like, oh, well, maybe she does pick Meatball because we're not seeing anyone else except like Meatball and the two guys who told her she doesn't like, you know, they don't like her. And then like Michael comes from literally, and I mean this, I'm not being hyperbolic, off screen.
Exactly.
Like he was not shown.
It's like he's and from then, another season that just wandered on.
Yeah. And it's not even like they panned to him when they said Michael. Like they said Michael and then he like walked into the shot.
Really? Yeah. What they really should have pulled Gabby aside and been like, you know, this will be better TV if you just pick somebody that declined Rachel. Maybe she like refused and was like, no, like,
yeah,
I don't like that they did that or something.
Yeah.
But although when Termaine departed, she was like, I really respect you, Termaine. Like she appreciated that, seemed like so. And then Rachel picked Hayden as her last choice. It's just like she had no like slim pickings at the end.
Yeah, because she didn't have any other options.
Right. So it leaves Jacob behind and yeah, they finalize their teams. But then the cliffhanger moment, instead of getting kind of a goofy scene, it's Meatball coming back asking Rachel for another chance after they already showed us a preview where he's talking to her. So
well, but yeah, when we saw the preview, I was like, oh, like he pulls like an Ali Fedotowsky where he just comes back to like shit talk somebody else. No,
he to tell you.
It looks like he stays.
Right. Yeah. I mean, was she after that moment of like, okay, I just got rejected. Yeah, why not throw Meatball a meatball and let him come on? So yeah, it's a very strange episode. Like I'm hoping that it kind of picks up from here and we can see, get more character development out of some of these people because, yeah, half their teams, I feel like there's no shot. So
I feel like, yeah, for Gabby, we're only seeing Nate and Eric.
Right, right. And then random mentions of some guy named Jason that apparently she likes.
Yeah.
Because even
like, I did not realize there was a Jason here.
Right. And even, you know, her first impression, I was like, he's totally dropped off Mario.
Yeah. So, yeah.
That can all change. It looks like there is a new villain that develops next week. Any predictions who that is? Like says like these bitches or something.
Oh gosh, who could it be? I can't even like picture anyone's face right now.
Right. I don't know. That would probably be a bonus question that George sends us.
Yeah, George will send us the questions and we'll talk about it our next job. Week.
Let's get into listener questions. Just a few this week. Nicole Horn says, since when did Karamo drop the brown? It's giving Cher.
I'm not sure. I don't know Karamo from Queer Eye. I know him from the season of Dancing with the Stars he was on.
Did he have brown back then?
I don't think so.
Okay. Karamo. So it's been a while. I mean, it is a very distinct name. So yeah, if you can do it, like
go for it.
Yeah. Be the Karamo.
This is feels like a dumb question. Is he the fashion guy out of the five?
He is the culture. Like he's kind of whatever he needs to do for that particular person.
Oh, so
he kind of is like the emotional support. Like if they need to like, I haven't seen it in a while. It's been a few years. Like I got into it when it first came back and then it was like too many seasons are coming out at once. I'm like, I can't keep up. I can't watch it
because it would be, yeah, it would be a guarantee cry for me. And I am already a guarantee cry.
Yeah. But yeah, he's kind of like the hype person, the like, okay, this is something that you need to do to like, you know, let's like give back to the community here. That's what I recall. Or like, yeah, boost this part of your personality or your spirit in some way. Like if you do this one thing or yeah. Let's see. Nicole Horn also wants to know also why did Rachel give Hayden the rose after he dogged Gabby?
I think he just had no other options.
Is Hayden going to be the one that's like saying?
Oh, no, I don't think so.
Yeah, I think he still thinks he has a shot. I think she
keeping
him around because she knows he's there for her and just to fill out the team. But yeah, definitely like should have let him go as well. And then Josh Creek, Quincy had two confessionals saying This, it was about to be the biggest night slash craziest night in Bachelor history. Is he angling for a future job in batch promotions? Yeah, I did clock this. Like, they really went to him for like he really thought that photo shoot date was going to be like the like most iconic date in Bachelor history.
Yeah. I also hope I don't regret this, but I do like Quincy more than I was expecting to based on his job title.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was like him and then Chris, who was the mentality coach, were like, okay, one of these guys has to be horrible. And Chris, yeah, like, proved that last week. But yeah, we can be pleasantly surprised with Quincy. He's definitely VIP fodder.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
So, yeah, he's on Gabby's team for now. And then let's see if the draft results are in. We'll go check on follow at George CTV. Yes, the Rahapchularet draft update. It couldn't be much closer. Haley has the lead with 118. Amy is second with 116. And Tori is third with 111. Amy lost James. Wait, that's Meatball? Maybe. And Termaine, she has 5 picks left. So yeah, I'll hold on to hope that Meatball comes back. Looks like it. Haley lost Jacob with 5 left. And Tori lost Alec and has 4 left. I wonder if George has given us points yet for our predictions on like who's with... who's like Gabby and who's Rachel? Because it seems like...
I bet he did this week, but he just hasn't gotten to it. Oh, wait. No, this was this week. Oh, my God. I'm losing... Amy, I am losing it.
Because now we actually have like a definitive way to determine.
I thought we did pretty good.
Yeah. You know what? Like, our top picks are hanging in there. Tori, you know, you can't fault her for picking Alec first. I wouldn't have expected him. Yeah, I wouldn't have expected him. And he was the wedding photographer. Like, why didn't we see any parallels of that when he was on the group date with Franco? So yeah, Tori's got her otherwise picks 2 through 5 still in there. Haley, you have Avon and Eric. I think Avon is due for a one-on-one soon. I have Zach and Tyler, boring. Johnny and Hayden. Oh, I had Hayden on my team. Ew. Anyway. So yes, as always, follow at George CTV. Thank you, George, for telling, as always, as wonderfully as you do, and looking forward to getting those bonus questions.
And speaking of Tori, she had Jenna from the Descartes podcast, who is one of the founders of the Roses for Everybody campaign. We were talking about a couple of weeks. So go listen to that on the Ready to Be Petty podcast feed. Support them. Follow that campaign. And let's get The Bachelor to be even more diversified, because that's what we need. We need it.
Nice. Yes, that's awesome. She gets such great guests. And then if you are a sucker for shows like The Bachelor, Bachelorette, true love stories, crazy drama, you have to check out a show I know well, the Married at First Sight Rehap Up, is now rebranding. A Perfect Match, a Married at First Sight podcast. Co-hosts Asia Welch and Jason Reed are back to discuss season 15. It's taking place in San Diego. And if you don't know about the show, I've talked about it for a while, and you know, I was hosting that. I could not be doing it right now.
we're soft people. We can't handle it.
Yes,
we can't handle multiple shows podcasts.
Yeah, but it's a super fun show to watch and then hear broken down, because it's what it says: Married at First Sight pairs strangers with someone else at the altar, and they follow them for 8 weeks as they go on their honeymoon, move in together. And you get to see, you know, did they create a perfect match or like perfect for TV match? There's always like, it's kind of like a producer rose. There's always like at least 2 couples that there's no shot and you feel bad for them, because it's like,
do they have to pay their own lawyer fees to get divorced?
I think the show helps them out if it's like done at the end of the show, like if they decide right then. But if I'm guessing if they stay together a little longer and try it out, that they're on their own.
Right.
Yeah. So Asia and Jason discuss each episode weekly with humor and a healthy dose of skepticism. They rate the couples, and they also have guests frequently on to give their opinions as well. And you can subscribe to their feed, rabbiswebsite.com/firstsightfeed, or it's in the Reality TV Rehab-Ups feed where you might be getting this podcast. So check it out. All right, Healy, no takes from Doug this week, right?
No takes from Doug. He went to go see Rage Against the Machine. Actually, wait, he said he had one question. I forgot. Okay. My bad. That's absolutely my bad. Did you see Jane Lynch's tweet today about like women's voices and podcasting? And it's like, well, just make your voice better.
I refuse.
Thank you.
Terrible.
What date from any season would have been best to host a Rage Against the Machine as a musical guest? Like maybe Gabby or Caitlin are like the closest I could get to that.
Right. See that. All right. Well, Doug, we hope you're back on board next week. Don't be abandoning this season for concerts, like private concerts, whatever have you.
Yeah. Yeah. Was it a private concert? Was it just you?
And who are you dancing with?
How long, how many years have you had those Rage Against the Machine tickets, Doug? My other question to you.
Your 2020 tickets?
Yeah, I had Bare Naked Lady tickets for like 3 years. It's off in like 2019 and finally got to cash them in a couple weeks ago.
It's like my Bachelor on Stage live
ticket. Yeah. Oh my God. What?
Burning a hole in my pocket. Yeah.
But just absolute joy we're living through, just day after day of joy.
Yes. All right. Well, Haley, to find more joy, where can people find you these days?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at @hstrong_. If you want to check out everything I'm reading, you can check out my Bookstagram, The Strong Library.
And you can find me on Twitter at @rjprecapper. Thanks, as always, for listening, and talk to you next week.
Bye.